I invite you to take your Bibles, if you will, and turn with me, if you will, to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Continuing our thoughts on fellowship with the Father and with His Son. And I think that we will be reflecting upon the Christmas theme is found in Matthew and also in Luke about the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, who was born as a son. But in 1 John chapter 1, I'm going to begin reading with verse 1 and read again down through verse 4. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Also want to read verses 6 and 7. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. For if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. I don't know what the message was this morning, but I was doing some final preparation on the message this morning, and the computer hung up and I lost all that I did. And so I had to not start from scratch, but I had to start over on what I had, what corrections and, you know, things I were adding to it. And so I just feel like that there is opposition to what was going to be said this morning. So the Lord will take care of the slack as we look at these verses together. Part of fellowship is walking together. We need to walk in the light as He is in the light. If we expect to have fellowship with His Son, we need to be in the Word of God. And it's through fellowship, through the Bible or through the Word of God, that we learn about the Father and we learn about the Son. One thing about fellowship with the Son is just as we have been called unto His kingdom and glory, we have been called unto fellowship with the Son. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 12, it says, we should walk worthy of God who hath called you, who hath called you unto His kingdom and glory. Then in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 in verse 9, it says, God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And God is referenced in verse 3 as God our Father. God the Father has called us into fellowship with His Son. So it's part of the calling. Many are called, but few are chosen. In Amos chapter 3 and verse 3, it says, can two walk together except they agree? Part of having fellowship with the Father and with the Son has to do with agreement. We have to be in agreement with each other. In Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, we have the account of the birth of Jesus Christ, God's Son. And I want to reflect on that a little bit to help us to have fellowship, to learn to have fellowship with His Son. In Matthew 1:21, it says, And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. There's no definite article, the, before son. Just as in the case of Elizabeth, and knew her not, let me just read Matthew chapter 1, verse 25. And knew her not, this is talking about Joseph, knew her not, for she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Again, the definite article "the" is not before Son. In other words, the emphasis is not on his sonship here. It's just simply on the fact that she had a son and his name was Jesus. Just as in the case of Elizabeth, her cousin, when her time came that she should be delivered, she brought forth a son, just like Mary. But in Luke chapter 2 and verse 7, it says, "And she brought forth her firstborn, the son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." Here we find the emphasis on the fact that he is the firstborn and he is the son. Firstborn having to do with birthright, and sonship having to do with position in the family. In a Jewish home, a male child did not become a son until years later. In fact, it is known as bar mitzvah, when a child or a son is recognized as a son of the father. And so we find in Luke chapter 2 and verse 7 that she brought forth the firstborn, the son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes. Going back to Matthew chapter 2 and in verse 2, it says, "The wise men asked the king Herod, where is he that is born king of the Jews?" Jesus Christ was born a son. And being a son, the Son of God, meant that he was king, and in this case, king of the Jews. Sonship we need to associate with royalty or position of honor and glory as that of ruling and reigning in the kingdom of our Father, because it is the Father's kingdom as well as the Son's kingdom. And I made some observations in Matthew chapter 2. In verse 13 it says, "When they departed," that is the wise men, "behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." Here is the word "young child," meaning paideion. This is a reference to a position less than that of being in a maturity. In other words, he was a child. He was 2 years old at the time, approximately. But yet in verse 15 of Matthew 2, it says, And he was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord, by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called the son of me, is the literal Greek phrase. A reference to the son. In other words, one of the things that we will find as we study this morning is that before sonship comes, there must be paideion, little child-like faith, or little child-like attitude. We will see this in Luke's account, Luke chapter 2 and verses 42-43. It says, "When he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast." Now, being 12 years old, he would be recognized as a son of Joseph. But in verse 43, it says, "When they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew it not." Here the word "pais" is used. This word is a word used for those who are mature. In other words, he was 12 years old, yes, but he was a mature 12-year-old. Then in verse 48, "And when they saw him, they were amazed." In other words, when they went back to Jerusalem, they found him in the temple. "And when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said unto him, son." Now, this is not the same word "son" as we've been looking at in Matthew. This is the word "technon." This has to do with maturity. And it equates "pais" and "technon" of being the same level because they refer to him at the same age in the same context in both terms. I think that is significant, particularly in further studies of this word. And they ask him, "Why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing." Then Jesus makes the comment to them in verse 49, and he said unto them, "Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business?" Here we find a 12-year-old being mature enough to begin his ministry. He was recognized as a son, a place of position in the family, a place of responsibility. And he makes a comment, "Don't you know that I must be about my father's business?" Yet in verse 51 of chapter 2, and it says, "He went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them." This is an act of a paideion. Jesus Christ was a son, and yet he chose, in words, he was a pais, and yet he became a paideion. In fact, in Matthew chapter 18, in verse 8, it says, "Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this paideion, this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Jesus Christ became a paideion by choice. He subjected himself to his parents. And that has to do with us. If we expect to be great in the coming kingdom, or we expect to rule and reign with Christ in this coming kingdom, we have to be subject to Him. We have to be subject to each other, submitting ourselves to each other. In Luke chapter 3, verses 22 and 23, it says, "And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph." And notice the word, there's no definite article "the" before "son" here. But the point is I'm making is this. Here we find Jesus beginning his ministry 18 years later. And at the very beginning of his ministry, he had already received the testimony that he was well-pleasing to his Father. The voice from heaven said, "Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well-pleased." We don't find that out until we have run the race. We don't find that out until we stand at the judgment seat of Christ, whether or not we are we have been well pleasing to our Heavenly Father. And so we find Jesus Christ, born King of the Jews, qualified to rule and reign at his birth, qualified to have ministry even at 12 years old, yet submitted himself to his parents until he was 30, and then he began his ministry with God's approval at the beginning. Now, he had a certain attitude to be able to, or in his ministry, and we can pick that up in Mark chapter 14, verse 36. In Mark 14, 36, he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me, nevertheless not what I will, but what thou wilt." He had the spirit of sonship. This is the spirit of being or living like a son. What is that spirit? We're not talking about the Holy Spirit. We're talking about attitude. We're talking about purpose. And the purpose that Jesus Christ had was, "Not my will, but thine be done." That's the spirit of sonship that we need to understand and appreciate. And we find further light on that in Romans chapter 8 and verse 15. "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption. This word adoption should be translated to place as a son. We're not adopted into the family of God. We are born into the family of God. Adoption has to do with being placed in a position of a son. And we have received the Spirit of adoption whereby we can cry, not our wills, but thine be done. Jesus had that attitude, that spirit, and we too need to have that spirit. And we need to be in agreement with that. If we're going to have fellowship with the Son, we need to be in agreement with that attitude. Not our wills, but the will of the Father being done. Fellowship has to do with eating. And in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me." If we're going to have fellowship with the Son, we're going to have to eat at His table. What does He serve? Well, in John 14:23, first of all, if we hear His voice, we need to open the door. And in John 14:23, it says, "Jesus answered and said unto him, If any man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." That's an invitation to come in. This is not salvation. This has to do with fellowship. And in John 4:34, Jesus said unto His disciples, "My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and finish His work." That's what we're going to sup on. That's what we're going to have fellowship around. We're going to have fellowship of doing His will and finishing our course. That's part of the fellowship that we are going to have with Him. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, it says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father." This is part of the meat that the Lord will serve in our fellowship with Him. As the Son did His Father's will, He was known as an overcomer. In Revelation 3:21, "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and have sat down with my Father in his throne." He was born King of the Jews, and yet he sat down at the right hand of the Father, being an overcomer. And we too can become overcomers by having fellowship with Him and supping with Him, feeding upon the meat that He provides. In Revelation 21:7, it says, "He that overcometh shall inherit all things." This has to do with our position in the family. This has to do with our wealth in the coming kingdom. And it says, "And I will be his God, and he shall be my son." This has to do with those who will become overcomers, those who will be faithful to the Lord, who will be steadfast and unmovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord. "And he shall be my son." In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 23, it says, "Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father." Now this is not a very happy translation of the word "hath." It would be better translated to "esteem." Whosoever denieth the Son. Now this is not talking about denying Jesus. This is on a deeper level. Denying the sonship of Jesus. Denying the position that Jesus has. "He does not esteem the Father." In other words, there's no fellowship there. There's no agreement there. "But he that acknowledgeth," and that's also in the present tense, "the Son, esteemeth the Father also." And the word "esteem" is in the present tense as well. So it's a continuing thing. We need to value fellowship with the Son, knowing that in valuing that fellowship, we will not deny it, and we will esteemed the Father as well as the Son, and we will not be called a liar, because that's what they are. They are, whoso denieth the Son is a liar. You find that actually in verse 22. So we are encouraged not to deny Him. In Revelation chapter 3 in verse 5, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, and I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Again, fellowship with the Son means that we need to be overcomers, and we need to esteem that fellowship with the Father and with the Son. We need to continually acknowledge our fellowship with the Father and with the Son, and our value of that knowledge. And if we will, we will be clothed in white raiment, and we will have our names confessed before the Father and before His angels. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 12, it says, if we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He will also deny us. It takes endurance. It takes endurance to have fellowship with the Son. It takes endurance to have fellowship with the Father. And if we do not endure, and we come to the place in our life when we deny Him, then He will also deny us. We need to esteem the Son and the Father. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 12, it says, he that hath the Son hath life. And here again is the word hath that should be translated esteemeth. He that esteemeth the Son hath life, or esteems life. And he that esteemeth not the Son of God esteemeth not the life. What life is this? It's life for the age. That life of ruling and reigning with Christ in His coming kingdom. And in 2 John in verse 1, or excuse me, in 2 John 9, verse 9, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ esteemeth not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he esteemeth both the Father and the Son. What does it mean to abide in the doctrine of Christ? It means to appreciate what happened when Jesus Christ was born. The doctrine of Christ has to do with the fact that Jesus Christ was born King of the Jews. Continuing the doctrine of Christ means that Jesus, knowing that Jesus Christ subjected Himself to His parents. He was under submission just as we need to be under submission. That's part of the doctrine of Christ. The doctrine of Christ has to do with the spirit of adoption, the spirit of being a son, submitting ourselves to the will of the Father and not our own will. We need to abide in the doctrine of Christ. And abiding in the doctrine of Christ, we will esteem the Father and the Son. And it will encourage us to make sure that we will maintain our fellowship with Him. Fellowship with the Father and with the Son. Again, we need to walk in the light as He is in the light, so we can have fellowship with one with another. That's part of abiding in the doctrine of Christ. Walking in the light of His Word. And if we're walking in the light of His Word, our lives will also be clean. For it's the blood of Jesus Christ that provides us with the cleansing that we need. May the Lord help us to appreciate the fact that when Jesus Christ was born, He was born King of the Jews. His birth and His life reflected the fact that He was the Son of God. Not only in attitude, but His purpose in life was to glorify the Father, and to do His will, and to finish His course. And for us to have fellowship with the Son, we too have to have that attitude of feeding upon the Word of God and doing the will of the Father. And if we will do that, we will hear what Jesus Christ heard at the beginning of His ministry. This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased. May the Lord help us to stand in His presence, approved as sons of God, because we've been faithful to Him. Father, we just thank You for Your Word. We thank You, Father, for the ministry it has in our hearts and our lives. And we pray, Lord, that You would help us to respond to it in a way that would glorify You in the Son. Bless the message to each of our hearts. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen.